Have you ever been reading a celebrity pastor's blog posts or listening to a famous Bible teacher and something jumps out to you and you're just like, how am I the only person seeing this thing? Why isn't anyone talking about it? Well, you're not alone. Welcome to Underdog Theology. This podcast is about looking at what's happening in evangelicalism. I'm talking tweets, I'm talking books, blogs, videos, all of it, and judging it according to Scripture. Whether that's reacting to celebrity pastors, teasing about the latest ridiculous battle in the culture war, or just having a little bit of fun together, this show is for all the folks who feel like they're on the outside looking in, who feel like they don't have a voice, who feel like they're an underdog. Welcome to Underdog Theology. What's up, everybody? Hey, how's your Monday going? Happy Monday. We're talking theology. We're talking church. We're going to talk some Christian nationalism in a while. You know, just typical chill stuff, you know? It's nice and cool up here in Saskatchewan. Oh, man. It's kind of hot. You know, we're rocking, I don't know, like, I think it's going to be like 20, 25 today Celsius, so I don't know what that is, Fahrenheit anymore. I don't keep track about those things. Really what I'm doing, I'm just teasing everybody because apparently it's hot everywhere in the world. Every single place. It is super hot. And people are letting me know in the chat. Wendy is here and says, it's 102 degrees here in Fort Worth. I feel like we're on the radio. 102 degrees in Fort Worth. That's not a radio voice. I don't know what that was. I need to sound more like Todd Friel. That's what I need to do. Second longest streak of consecutive days of triple digits. 102 degrees. Are you serious? I would not be able to handle it. Praying for you, Wendy, both with that and actually real life. But husband, parent, pastor, he is all those things. This smiley face here, he is all three of those things. It says greetings. Hey, you know what? Awesome. You hopped into the chat. You did it. Congrats. That sounded more sarcastic than I meant. I really mean it. Like, welcome to the community. If you are watching, whether you're watching live or you're watching on the replay, I just keep on wanting to say, join us on Monday afternoons. You know, it's like right around lunchtime, at least where I'm at. So what is it? It's like 1:45 CST. I don't remember how time works. Fahrenheit and CST and PST and EST. I don't know how any of these things work. We're in Saskatchewan. We're Celsius, and our time doesn't change, so it's all great. It makes it really easy, but then you forget how the rest of the world lives. But I'm just saying, hop into the chat. Come hang out with us. Like, I think you'd really enjoy it. We have some fun people hanging out with us. We got Samantha here. Wendy and I are trying to stay cool in Texas. It doesn't sound like it's possible. I don't even know. Like, you got air conditioning? Do you have a pool made of ice? Because I don't know how else you're going to be cool. Because 102 degrees, to me, that sounds like another place. It's not the good place. I'll tell you that much. Aaron is here and says, I've been told twice today that I've got a 1,000-yard stare going on. Looking forward to listening in, though. I appreciate you being here, bud. Stephanie is here. And, like, all the Texans are here. Every single one of them. They're watching live. And once again, I will just remind people, we got 33 people watching live as we're just getting started today. Got a lot of fun stuff doing, like, that we're going to talk about, you know, and we got 5 likes. So I'm just saying, we made new intro. I made new intro. It's not we. I made it. And I think it was pretty fun. And I put like in there a lot. And I don't know if it's going to work, but, you know, we're going to keep trying. So Heidi is here and says, hello, Dean, Wendy, Samantha, Stephanie, and some random dude named Aaron. For those on the outside, they're married. They don't know each other, though. It's weird. Pamela, thanking my lucky stars, I'm in Canada. Where even though we have a heat warning, LOL, it's only about 26 Celsius. Yeah. And we got Pete Fraley, my man from college, doing well in Rhode Island, at work, working while listening to your thoughts. Hope you and the fam are doing great. We're doing pretty good. It's been a good weekend. Got a lot of stuff going on this week, appointments and things, but we're doing really well. And people make fun of me for saying hop so much. I'm just going to keep on saying it, though, so it's going to be a thing. Pam says, fun intro, Dean. Hey, thanks. I appreciate it. I always appreciate, like, when you guys are like, hey, we saw you tried something. You did something a little bit different. And Aaron says, we got rain in MO. Is that Missouri? I don't remember. I've been in Canada too long. This weekend and today, mercifully, it's going to stay in the mid-80s. Well, there's your weather report for the day. Everyone, that's what's happening in your neck of the woods, right? Like that's what they used to say. We're going to talk about stuff. Samantha tells me, shut up. Oh man, we don't use harsh language here in the chat. She's teasing. No, I'm not going to. We're going to keep on talking about things because we got stuff to talk about. Guys, one of my sons is obsessed with Mario. I know you might be like, where is this going? He's so obsessed that he wears Mario pretty much everywhere, and I love it. It's cool. We all went to the Mario movie. It was really, really fun. But have you ever thought about what if your church, your entire church, went to the movies together, and instead of worshiping, you went to church and there was movies? Have you ever thought about that? Well, literally every single megachurch has thought about this and has done it. Like, all right, now I'm kind of kidding about, like, they're not worshiping, they're going to the movies instead. But that's the critique that is out there right now. Now, there is a famous example right now. It's going on Twitter or X or, I don't know, whatever Elon wants to name it next. I'm still a little disappointed. Find me on Threads. Find me on Threads in Blue Sky at Dean Lentini. It's going on all over the place. People are talking about the Mario movie and church at the movies because Craig Groeschel has decided that he's doing another year of at the movies. Now, it's kind of a cliche at this point that all the mega churches, they like to do this where they basically take a movie and they try to cram the gospel into it. That's my opinion. I think that there is a way that you could do this, but most often it's, we have a cool looking thing that we can do and it's exciting and it's the latest thing from Hollywood. So let's bring that in and we can, you know, gospel it up a little bit. Well, Craig Groeschel tried to do that it wasn't even this last week. It was a couple weeks ago now. I don't know why these things take a little bit of time to get traction. But he decided to do that with the Mario movie. So I can't show my son this because he'd be like, we are moving and we are going to this church. Although they do a lot online. So let's take a look. Oh, how did that get there? You guys, it's the flannel church guy, the flannel pastor guy who was saying all those things about women and got canceled. Oh, he was just speaking at Life Church, one of the biggest churches in the world. Oh, that's weird. I thought he got canceled. Anyways, let's take a look at what is going around right now. And that is Bowser. This is such a weird story. We're going to tie it in. We're going to talk about Josh Bice here in a minute because it's funny. And to me, going to be real honest, it's just kind of hokey. Kind of dumb, but you know, like there's an actual conversation to be had about how to do these things and whether we should or not. But they had Bowser dress up, some guy dressed up as Bowser, and he's playing the song. Now, what I saw going around was a lot of people. I think actually the way I saw this was Josh Bice retweeting it. And they're saying, like, this is what worship is like at Life Church. Now, granted, I don't know about the wisdom of having, like, a full-on dress-up, but you could clearly see these are children, right? Like, you could see that there's a kid's head at the bottom and a kid's head over here. You can see the stage, and you can know this is definitely not where they have the thousands of people gather for Life Church. So I think that, like, the people that are sharing this right now, I think Protestia got a hold of it. I remember seeing that, like, it's from Protestia. But they're putting it out as, like, this is worship at Life Church. And I don't think that's completely accurate. And I'm not here to defend Life Church, but I'm just wanting to give you, like, the facts of what this story is about. It looks to me like this is, like, their kids section. like their junior church. And so they're having Bowser play some worship. But it's not just that. They decided that they would go and decorate the whole church. And this is their At the Movies, which I guess is a yearly thing. It's an annual thing. I saw a video where a guy was saying he's been doing At the Movies at Life Church for 13 years, which to me is like really weird that you count it that way. To me, I have some questions. I have some questions about Life Church that I can't really find. But I think that this has something to do. Is this their version of VBS? Like that would be something that I'd be curious to find out, whether they have other children's ministries that are big in scope and they're trying to bring a whole bunch of people in, or if this is their version of VBS, because it seems, you know, obviously targeted at the children with Mario. But they decorated the church. They did the mushrooms. Not they did the mushrooms. They decorated mushrooms. Big difference, Dean. Okay. So they put the cubes up. Like you could see, they went all out and they put a whole bunch of vinyl on their church doors. And they had folks dress up as these different characters, not just Bowser playing the piano and doing the peaches. Like my son is like, he sings that all the time. And he has such a high-pitched voice when he's copying people. That to me is just like the funniest thing in the world to hear like this really high-pitched version of Jack Black as Bowser singing Peaches. And like when he goes into the thing, it's hilarious. But they did a whole bunch of dress up. It wasn't just Bowser. They had a whole bunch of people. And again, this is at church. Look at that, man. I'm gonna try to make this a little bit bigger. Sorry for the podcast listeners. But look at that. That is huge. All right, and it looks pretty dang good, like, of doing Bowser's Castle. This, to me, is not your typical VBS decoration, okay? I just want to show you these things to show you how far they went with all of this. Now, I also saw this. This was probably the saddest image that I saw on this. All right, so they have the vinyl up, and they're doing that. But look at this. Speaking of Photoshop, it was great having Pastor Craig and Pastor Amy at Life Church Northland this past weekend. That was from the church account, like this campus church. And to me, it's just so dang sad having to Photoshop your pastor because you can't get a picture of him at your campus because, you know, he's too big. He's too big to have, you know, coming to your little campus. So you have to Photoshop it. That to me is pretty much the saddest part of all this. But I bring all this up because it's interesting to me that there are these churches that do these kinds of events. You know, like sometimes it's crazy like this, where it's over the top and, you know, there's just Mario stuff freaking everywhere. But two things. It's not just them, right? It's not just Life Church. And also, you know, even a lot of the guys that are going to critique Life Church about this, they do a lot of the same stuff for VBS. Like, we know it. I was a youth pastor once. I was the guy staying up till 2 a.m. decorating the sanctuary. Yes, the sanctuary. decorating the worship center, whatever you want to call it. Decorating to make sure that, you know, everything looked really cool and it didn't look nearly as good, like, as that Bowser Castle. Dang, putting the rest of us to shame. Also, they got a lot of money. There's a lot of money wrapped up in that. That's another topic. But I think a lot of the people who are critiquing Life Church for this, they're going to do the exact same thing, or maybe they already did for Vacation Bible School. So I think we need to be a little bit careful about how we critique churches like this. But really what we need to do is find out why they're doing it. Find out why and how. Like, because it's a story that's out there and you might see images on Twitter, on Instagram, wherever. And you'll probably see YouTubers who are going to jump on this. Like, I kind of am. It was interesting to me. OK, but I like Bowser. But they're going to jump on this and they're going to make their videos. Look at the circus of a church. Look at that. You know, all these mega churches are bad. Obviously, on this channel, we have a definite perspective on the idea of a mega church. But is that accurate? Because a lot of, like, how far is too far when we're trying to do, like, these decorations and really try to bring people in. Well, I think it starts with our why. Like, why do churches do this? And it's not just the big mega churches, it's your church, right? Like, we all do events. We all do events to try to bring the community in, whether it's as simple as, you know, having a breakfast before Easter service, you know, and you invite the community out to that. That's kind of a gimmick. Like, let's be honest. Like, yeah, you're going to have a meal, but you're doing it in such a way on Easter morning to get people into the church. It is a gimmick, you know, or vacation Bible school. In a certain way, it is a gimmick. You know, all these things that we do that are outside like the Sunday morning normal worship service, like some of them are gimmicks. So how far does a gimmick have to be in order for it to be something that the church should completely avoid? Well, again, I think it starts with your why. So let's take a look at Life Church and what they have to say about why they do this thing. And again, I think it speaks also to the philosophy of many churches, not just big mega churches like this. So they say, during At the Movies, we're looking at films in a whole new way. At the Movies is happening at life.church locations, life.church online, blah, 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 blah. And so you can see even right there, this to me is the concerning part, looking at films in a whole new way. Like, I don't think any, like, I'm a movie guy. I love talking about movies, and sometimes they're going to slip into sermon illustrations. They slip into this channel of me just saying it's like this. Like, my mind goes to Braveheart a lot. Like, you know, like, I just throw those things in there. But there's a big difference between, like, using something as an illustration and being like, we're going to dive into this movie. Church shouldn't be a movie club. But it seems like, to me, like, the decorations, everyone's going to jump on that. But that's not the big deal with Life Church doing this stuff and other churches doing these similar kind of gimmicks. And pretty much every church has done something to at the movies, unless, like, they're, you know, Baptist. Usually we try to stick away from that. All right. Find At the Movie service times by choosing a Life Church location. What's At the Movies all about? Movies speak to our circumstances and connect us to one another. I know another thing that does that pretty well, but there's so much more we can learn from them. And that's what At the Movies is all about. We'll watch scenes from powerful movies during church, and Pastor Craig Groeschel will use them to teach us more about God, ourselves, and the life that's possible for us. Plus, our life.church locations go all out, transforming the lobbies into movie sets from all their favorite movies, serving up the best snacks, and creating photo ops and other fun for your family. I saw an intro. I thought about doing showing you a few videos, but it would just take this thing way too long. But there was like an intro of like a couple teens inviting more teens to come to this special service for teens of At the Movies. And they're talking about popcorn and how they have food trucks. And most importantly, we have a movie to watch. That's the kind of philosophy that I think separates what Life Church is doing from what a lot of churches do when they go all out. It's similar to that crazy church over in Winnipeg. Like, there's a lot of crazy things in Winnipeg, by the way. But there's a crazy church over in Winnipeg, Church of the Rock, where they do like the big plays every Easter, and it's ridiculous. Like Beauty and the Beaster, I think is what the last one was called, and we talked about that. Like, it's just insane. What separates Life Church and that church and churches like it from churches that are just really trying to get people in so they could hear the gospel is the gospel and focusing on the gospel and focusing on what the Bible tells us to focus on for corporate worship, and not just, hey, we got a really good movie we could watch and we could talk about that. So like they're just going through here and saying, like, we just watch these movies together, experience At the Movies wherever you are. So even if you can't come, you can watch a movie at home. Newsflash, right? Yeah, we can watch movies at home. And then they have a couple things. Let's look at these little recommendations. At the Movies is such a fun series. I'm always so impressed by the experience Life.Church creates to help people feel welcome. It's going to be so much fun. My family looks forward to At the Movies every year. The messages are always raw, real, and hit home, so relatable. So that's the first time that we really hear anyone talk about the message, is all the way at the bottom of the page. Now, I watched a couple minutes of Craig Groeschel doing this last week's sermon, because they do this weird thing where they like hide their YouTube stuff and they have to go to their website and it's playing at certain times and you got to catch it at the right time. So I was only able to watch like the first couple minutes before something else I had to go and do, and not able to catch up with it after. But I watched the first couple minutes and he was talking about one of the movies about a person, a little girl who wants to achieve her dream of circumnavigating the world by sailing. And I forget what movie that is, but he's talking about this movie. They show a little clip and he starts off with his thing of, don't you want to achieve your dreams? What's stopping you? What's stopping you from achieving your dreams? And then he used Isaiah 40 of like, God is with you. Like one of the things that would hold us back is like fear. And so God is with you. And even though he's talking to the Israelites who are facing all kinds of hardships and struggles that were specific to them, he was applying it to you and saying, you're going to get through this. My point is that this is about as awful as you could think about what a pastor could do with talking about a movie. It's inspirational. There's not Bible. Like there's a few verses that he'll sprinkle through, but there's no, let's actually dive into a text and explain what it means in any way. It's just using it as reinforcement for your talking points. And that's what Craig Groeschel does. Now, that's the extreme, right? Like I think that that's the extreme of this pragmatic view of worship. Now, I use that word specifically because there's another guy who is probably on the other side of this spectrum and is saying, hey, we need to stop the guys from being so dang pragmatic. And that is Josh Bice of G3 Ministries. He has done a lot over the last couple of years in talking about corporate worship and talking about all these churches that are being overly pragmatic to try to get things done and bring people in. And he wrote a blog post that I want us to kind of dive through a little bit more meaty than just the Life Church website. So here he writes, Light, Stage, and Altar, Assessing Trends in Modern Worship. So we're just going to read for a little bit. It's quite possibly that you've walked into a church building in recent days and asked yourself why the church service felt more like a production than a worship service. Was it the lights or the musicians? Was it the pastor's method of communication or his attire? What caused this question to be raised in your mind as you were seeking to worship God? The reality is much change has occurred within evangelicalism within modern church history that necessitates explanation. Let's talk about lights, stage, and altars in our approach at the worship to the worship of a sovereign and holy God. I think there's a word missing there. Why darkness rather than light? For many years, the church gathered together under the dim light of candles or scheduled their primary gatherings for worship on the seasonal schedule of the sunlight. During the years prior to modern technological advancements, the primitive church figured out how to meet without the use of electricity. I think you know where this is going. In modern light systems, in a way that was both edifying and efficient. Today, modern churches, with all of their technological advancements of a modern era within modern church campuses, are choosing to dim the lights, or in some cases, to turn them off altogether. Why would churches want to gather in dark rooms? What's the point? The fact is, many churches are driven by pragmatism and a commitment to production effects rather than the prescriptions of worship in Scripture. Consider the contrast between light and darkness in Scripture. And then he goes on for a while of talking about the difference between light and darkness in Scripture. Okay, so on one side, we got craziness of going way over the top and like basically trying to get people hooked. And it's funny. It's funny to hear these people scramble, like, because this last week was their last week of At the Movies. And it was interesting, kind of sadly funny that they were like, oh, but we got more coming. I know At the Movies is over, but we got more next week. Please come back. Oh, you know, like they were like really desperate. And so they're desperate to keep people, to get people in and to keep them. And so they, you know, more gimmicks, more tricks. So there's that extreme. And then I think there's this extreme where you're looking at the lighting in the room and saying, oh, well, why would a church who is all about light and sharing the light of the gospel want to meet in dark places? Like, it's, and then to, like, I think actually do almost the exact same thing as Craig Groeschel, with using scripture to, you know, prove your point that you already held, your bias that you were already holding. That's kind of what this is. Consider the contrast between light and darkness in scripture. Like, that's what we're talking about, the lighting in the room. And you want to be like, well, every verse about light and darkness. Like, you know, that's, those verses are meant to communicate spiritual truths. It's not talking about the lighting in an auditorium or a sanctuary or a worship meeting, like whatever you want to call the big room where people meet to worship. Like, or it's not talking about the lighting in that room. It's not talking about the light switch. It's talking about a spiritual truth. So you're just using these scripture verses to kind of just give you a point in saying, like, well, there's, you know, would you want to meet in the dark? Like, what? To me, I was reading this morning and I was just kind of a little shocked. But let's keep going. Church leaders today choose to intentionally dim lights in order to control the mood of the room by color packages with stage lights and backlight designs. These lights are not intended for seeing. They're intended for feeling. It's about the emotions of the people. This is a production decision that flows out of the world of entertainment, which has been used for many years in the theater and concert scene. The fact is, lights can manipulate how we feel, and that's why nice restaurants will often dim the house lights in the evening to create a specific mood for those who enter the room. I will say, I don't think so. Like, I mean, that might be a part of it, but I think mostly it's about privacy. Like, some of those places, you want a little bit more privacy, and so they dim the lights so that you have that privacy. But I will admit that there is something to the effect of, you know, lights having an impact. I'm one of those people that if I don't have lights on in my house, I just kind of get a little depressed. Like it is. And like in the wintertime, maybe you're like me. I don't know why I live in Saskatchewan, Canada, where winters last 9 months of the year. But, you know, if I don't see the sun after a while, I'm going to go a little nuts. You know, like, I need to see that sun. I don't need to go to Texas and have like 102 degree weather, but I need to at least like see the thing. And like, so I get it. Light has an effect on people, but also, stained glass windows. So let's talk about that for a sec. People talk about them as for the beauty of it, you know, like, oh, it's so pretty to look at. And that's true. But stained glass was also used to create an effect within the room. To see those blues and those reds and those different colors go all over the room. And everybody loves the stained glass. Like, so, like, it is interesting to be like, all right, well, light is bad, you know, with stage lights. But also every church has stage lights. Like, even a lot of these churches that look plain, they look plain, but like at the same time, there are so many more lights that are on the stage because they need it to be bright there. And I would guarantee that the stage is going to be a little bit brighter there than everywhere else, even in those places where they don't purposely dim the lights. Like, that's just the way everything works, so we can see clearer. So we are having an effect with lights. Either we're dimming it for an effect or we're brightening it up for an effect so that people can see. But it isn't this thing of like, ooh, we're trying to manipulate emotions. I don't think. While we are creatures designed by God with specific emotions, we should be careful to avoid manipulation by how we use lights in our approach to worship. I recall a conversation with a friend a couple of years ago who could not explain why she was constantly weeping during the worship service at her church. After additional conversation and explanation, it was clear that the music choices and the lights were creating a mood and leading her to be emotionally stirred. It wasn't based on the scripture or the theology being communicated. Okay, cool. You have a story about someone who, you know, felt like they were emotionally manipulated because of the music and the lighting. Okay, that's a story, and it might be true for this person. But like, that could happen either way. You know, we got David. David is always the example that we run to with stuff like this. Of like, he was like dancing, running around, and obviously dealing with a lot of emotions as he was going through and doing worship. So emotions aren't bad. And maybe crying often might be a way of how you worship. We do see, what was it, the woman who was worshiping Jesus and crying at his feet. Like, that happens. That happens. But I will say that there are probably places in the world that they do that for this reason. So while I think that Josh actually does have a couple points when he's talking about like some of these churches, I think these things could be true of churches like Life Church and the Church of the Rock over in Winnipeg and a bunch of others. I think that the vast majority of churches, like when they're dimming the lights, I don't think that they're thinking about the spiritual implications. I don't think that anyone else in the church is thinking about those. Maybe people outside who are looking for reasons to point out and say, like, that's the wrong way to do it. But yeah, let's go here. In short, children need to see their parents, grandparents, and other faithful church members singing. So basically dimming the lights means that other people can't see you worship. Well, Jesus did say to go and do it in a closet, so there's that. And other faithful church members singing, praying, worshiping through preaching, and partaking in the Lord's Supper. Pastors need to see the congregation as opposed to a dark room with a bright light shining upon them. This is part of discipleship. Corporate worship, it's not. The lighting in your room doesn't have any effect on your discipleship. Corporate worship is just that, corporate. It involves an assembly. It's not about creating an atmosphere of singularity and autonomy, which is the goal of a dark room. That's a perceived goal. Like, this is always the thing. Like, people take their personal feelings about something and they put it on top and say, well, it's always like this. This is how I feel with it. This is how this person that I know experienced this environment. So it is that. It's like, that's perceived. That's your emotions. That's your own bias and background getting put into that conversation. We need to see one another, sing to God and to one another, and edify one another during corporate worship. This is not possible in a dark room. There's nothing in Scripture that says you have to see someone. Singing. Singing is audible. Like, you really don't need to see them. You know, he talks about Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19, but that's just about singing. So you should sing, but it doesn't mean that everyone in that auditorium has to see you while you do it. Otherwise, we just have circle churches, right? And so there are some churches that do that, and they think it's that important that everyone sees one another while they're worshiping, or maybe they set up their chairs in a circle. I don't think that Josh Bice's church has that. So I think that's a little interesting. But in a dark room, you can hear them. You can hear them. You don't have to see them. From a more practical position, consider the fact that we need light to use our Bibles and hymnals. Many churches simply display the biblical text on the screens as well as the words to the songs. But it would be far more encouraging to have church members using their physical Bibles. Why? Like, and who is encouraging? Like, more encouraging to have church members using their physical Bibles, not phones. All right, so here's his reason. That can easily distract us away from God during worship. That is true. Like, you can be easily distracted. Me, not so much now that Twitter is now X. But it is a distraction. It is a danger, but so is your Bible. Come on, how many times have you been in church and the pastor started going off with a story you don't care about, and your mind immediately goes, like, I guess I'll go look at Paul's fourth missionary trip again. You know, like, or I'm going to start reading about David's mighty men and taking another battle. You know, like, our minds can be distracted by anything. Phone, yes, there are more capabilities to be distracted, but you need to just build up, you know, some self-discipline to be able to get through a sermon, just period. And hymnals, to see the musical notes and arrangements, which I'm assuming means that he thinks that every church member should know their music. Like, or at least the idea is that it would be ideal for people to be able to read the music. That's not in Scripture. I'm pretty sure the guys who were in prison singing worship, Paul and Silas, I don't think that they had the music notes in front of them. And I know that's a less than ideal situation, but I think that's interesting. Rather than being dependent upon screens that frequently change, to display everything for us, we could be actively engaged with an open Bible and hymnal. It's just interesting to me. Like, again, obviously I have that fundamentalist background, but I just think that it's so interesting to hear people use these words, and everyone acts like it's just like, oh, this is normal. But he's really just advocating for having hymnals and having your Bible in your hand. And like, while that might not sound like a big deal to you, to me as like former fundamentalist, I just start to hear some of those things and go like, okay, what is your real thoughts on the idea of worship and some of the songs that we use? Consider the fact that by the use of lights that direct the attention of the room to the front, same thing for position of chairs, by the way, the churches that there are churches that have circles, but like all the vast majority of churches basically have all their line of sight is right to the pulpit. So, direct the attention of the room to the front. It's quite possible that you lead people to embrace the false idea that whatever is happening at the front of the platform is most important and central to worship, which in actuality, what is happening in the entire room is central to the church's worship. I would agree with that. The worship of God is corporate and is happening throughout the worship auditorium. What happens on the back row of the church's auditorium is very important during worship service. You hear that, teenagers? Turn on the lights so that everyone can worship without hindrance. Brothers, we are not performers. Let me break for a second and just say, can we please stop doing this? Where we take famous lines of or titles of books and we change one word, and because it's alliterative, we feel like we're super clever. I am over this. I have seen this so many times. Brothers, we are not. And they'll start with P, and then they'll just use any other word because they're copying John Piper with Brothers, We Are Not Professionals. All right, that's a famous line. It's a great book, and I'm just kind of tired of people doing it. But Brothers, We Are Not Performers. It's a common thing to hear people referring to the platform in the front of the church's auditorium as a stage. Often people with pure hearts and motives and with sound theology will use the stage language in the context of their church building. I would like to push back on that vocabulary with the knowledge that words matter. We should be intentional about how we speak about the elements and circumstances of worship. I got to be honest, as much as I dislike this article, I can agree with this paragraph. Like, I think that probably is a good thing, that we probably should stop calling it stages. You know, just direct your attention to the front, maybe. Like, I mean, it is kind of just, you know, they're all synonyms for what we're trying to communicate. But at the end of the line, I'm thinking maybe saying it's a stage does have an effect on people. So I'll give them that. Recently, I was speaking at a conference, and right in the middle of my sermon, the audience began to applaud. It shocked me. It's not the first time that has happened, but when I'm preaching, it's not the first time this happened. People have given me standing ovations. No, I'm just kidding. Not the first time this happened. But when I'm preaching, I'm not thinking about applause. The second time they applauded, I remember having to intentionally wait on them to finish so I could continue speaking. It was a massive distraction to the preaching in my sermon. Pastors are not performers on a stage. The evangelical church is filled with performers. This performer mindset has influenced church leaders far and wide. At the heart of the issue is an insatiable desire for success. That, I think, is probably, that's great. At the heart of the issue is an insatiable desire for success. I full-heartedly agree with that. When pastors are turned into performers, the church will be filled with consumers rather than worshipers. The same thing can be said with regard to those who lead musically. Anyone who holds a microphone must be committed to leading for the glory of God rather than for the applause of man. Churches do not have stage. It's that simple. The area in the front of the worship auditorium where the pulpit stands is not a stage. Everyone who gathers in the room should be there to praise, worship, and submit to our Lord. Our aim should be to please an audience of one rather than the consumers. I almost sang it. Audience of one. He almost got me. Dear brother pastor, we are not performers. He goes into the altar as well. We'll just go to the concluding thoughts. By way of conclusion, we need to be able to recognize trends that impact Christian worship. Sorry, had a notification that came up. Rather than becoming slaves to new measures that promise instant results and success, we must remain committed to approaching God in the way He has prescribed in His Word. Pragmatism is a cancer that sucks the life out of Christian worship. Words matter because theology matters, but rising from that theological foundation is our worship philosophy, which matters too. That's the beautiful thing about worship. God has not left us to guess at how He desires to be worshiped by His people. He has given us His Word. And I would agree. I would agree with that. But I'm just saying, like you say, it is biblical to do it this way by application of use of spiritual language about light and darkness. And to me, that is just as pragmatic of this is what's convenient for me. This is what I like. I like having the lights on. I like it bright. I like it to where, you know, it's not being talked about as a stage. These are all things that are comfortable for us. And it's the things that we would prefer. That's not explicitly said in Scripture. It doesn't say you can't call it a stage. It doesn't say you must have the lights on while you worship. Make it as bright as possible. Get rid of those stained glass windows. Get rid of those stage lights. Get rid of all that. It's not going to be anywhere in Scripture. So I think that is correct. He has given us His Word. We need to stick to that. And when we're looking at other churches and saying this is how they should worship, let's just remember like where the bounds of Scripture are. And yes, I think that it's crazy what Life Church is doing with At the Movies. And I think it's corny. And, you know, it's definitely not for me. And I do think that there are moments where they go beyond, you know, they spend way too much money on this thing. I think that they're giving up the gospel because they're not really talking about the gospel. They're talking about success. An insatiable desire for success, as Josh Bice said. I think that that's what a lot of those churches are doing. But what about the churches in the middle? All right, this is probably where we can have a little bit of grace, and we can try to figure out how far are we going to go with this thing? Are we going to still continue to preach the gospel? Are you going to keep the lights on? I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters if the lights are on or not, or if they're dimmed or not, if you have stage lights or not. It's about your heart. It's about your heart and what you are trying to do in that service. Now, if there are people who are drawn to that and they just think maybe it's because they were a musician in the past, so they just feel like if there's a stage and if there's lights, it's a performance. I've known people like that, where they have that and they don't want to be on worship teams anymore because they just feel like it just becomes like that robotic thing of just performing again. If you're doing that, I think you need to sit back a little bit and think maybe I shouldn't be up there at the front or the stage or whatever. Or if you're at a church and like the lights are dim and you're thinking I need to see these people singing so that it helps me, then you can probably find another church that is going to have the lights on and is going to preach the gospel still. Like, we have these preferences, and it's okay to have preferences. But when we start using those preferences to say that's how those people should be, that's what we call a fundamentalist. Like, there's a reason why I've talked about it a bunch of times. G3 Ministries is concerning to me as far as like this new fundamentalist movement. And, you know, talking all day about hymns and, you know, being able to use your physical Bible and get off that dang phone. Like, I think there's some fundamentalist ideology that's inherent within what's going on there. And I think we need to be a little bit careful about where we're drawing those lines of saying this is what faithfulness looks like. This is how real worship is. This is the difference between real and fake worship. And again, for a Life Church, I think it's unwise to do like all the decorations and spend all the money and have like this be the main focus. But if they had preached the gospel, like I would have been like, I have differences, but, you know, whatever. They're still preaching the gospel. And they claim that they are. I'm just saying, like, basing your entire message off of a movie instead of the Bible, and not even, you know, sometimes you have a scripture passage that goes in line with the Bible. They aren't even doing that. They're just literally showing clips and then essentially doing what I'm doing and reacting. This is not a sermon. Right? This is very different than what should happen on a Sunday morning experience. And apparently Craig Rochelle doesn't really think so. But let's see what you guys have to say. I've been talking for a very long time, too long, some might say. Let's start with Stephanie. Summer tent revivals in the South are very effective for getting from high numbers of folks walking down the aisle. Still talking about weather. Let's go further down. Bowser leading worship is like Satan leading worship. Come on, he spits fire, right? All right, Dylan. My kids would be over the moon if they saw it, but not at church. Stephanie says, I'm not outraged, and I'm sure it's not always like this, but I do think we've gone too far with the God is fun outreach. Yeah, yeah, I think that it is true. Like, we do all these things, and we do the gimmicks to try to get people in. And I will say, I bet there are tons of people who don't believe in Jesus and see that, and they're going like, what are these corny Christians doing again? Like, if I wanted to talk about Oppenheimer, I would go and watch a video on YouTube. Or if I wanted to see that movie, I'd go to the movie theater and I'd see it or rent it. Like, what are these Christians doing trying to get me in this way? Same thing that all of us think about JWs and Mormons when they come to our door and they use all their gimmicks. I'm sure that there are people who look at, like, churches, and while they might be like the cool church in Christianity, I'm sure that people outside are going like, what the heck are these guys doing in this time? Like, oh my goodness. I bet that there are tons of people like that. That's how I would be if I didn't believe in Jesus. So Wendy says, better for them to hang a millstone around their necks and cause little ones, younger ones in Christ to stumble. Not sure what that was in reference to, something I said. Caleb says, you bring up a good point, Dean, regarding some churches doing the same thing for VBS. Yeah, it's just watered down and less money, and the youth pastor spent way too much time doing it all by himself. I'm not speaking from experience. I always had help. Star123, doing this for kids is fine, in my opinion, but I briefly attended a church. Then they started this junk with the adults. I left. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what kind of person it takes to be like, oh, this is really cool, and doesn't have kids, or like they, like maybe kids are grown and they want to be a part of that kind of environment. I don't know what kind of person that is, because I haven't met them. Like, I don't know them, and it's definitely not me. I'd be like, what is going on here? Yeah, Sam put up that famous line, what you win them with is what you win them to. Yeah, you're just going to have to keep on doing that kind of stuff. You get them with one gimmick, you're going to have to, you know, go up another level, all right? And that's why they're always talking about, like, we're going to do it bigger, and we're going to do it better this year. It's going to be so, like, you know, they have build days. They have build days where it's just like 2 weeks of church volunteers coming in, hundreds of them, to build these things. And like, yeah, churches do that with VBS, but like, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of money. I guess I went a little too far comparing Bowser to Satan. I apologize. We do not forgive you.
Big yikes.
Pam says, it's difficult to understand why the world doesn't take the church seriously, right? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just think that there's got to be people out there that's just like, what? Peter says, doesn't all this catering just water down the edification of the saints even more? Serious question. I mean, yes, because people aren't being pushed. Like, you need to be pushed in churches. So if it's going to be a barrier, like even the lighting, if it's going to be a barrier for you to meet people, then I think it's going to be like a huge problem. If people are just like coming in and they're sitting down when the lights are off, and when the lights turn on, they bolt for their cars. Like, I think that speaks to a way bigger problem than just the lights. But you also should turn on the lights. Because they were talking, even there was like this thing where they were discussing some of the great things that happened during the movies. And one of the pastors was just like, we had people stand up and just like, you know, go and introduce themselves to two other people at the church. And I thought that was great. It's like, that's not happening. That's not a normal thing. Like, what are you talking about? You go to church and it's just like nobody knows each other. And like, I've visited some of these churches that are like the big fancy churches. I went to New Spring once, and actually one of the loudest concerts I've ever been in. But like, I was also like, that was Fundy Days. So I was just like, you know, like coming in like, all right, what you got for me, Paranoble? You know, like that kind of thing. Like, that's how it felt. Like, everyone went in, lights turned off, and everybody went out, and no one was really talking. They got coffee and things, and you saw people who seemed like they know each other, but most people were just right out the door. And I know that there's small groups and there's other ways to get around that and to have community at these bigger churches. But to me, Like I'm just too many dangers with some of these mega churches, but also not being able to know people. I think that's a big L. Aaron says, I had to watch accidentally using movie quotes in serious moments when teaching Sunday school. Yeah. Been there. Sermon illustrations. It's hard. Every single one comes to I think I referenced Braveheart probably 3 times in one sermon. And I was like, I really got to work on this. But then I had someone confront me about how I shouldn't like Star Wars because I had said it in a sermon a year before. So that's the world I come from. Slightly Pelagian. Oh, no, not reformed anymore. Hey, Dean, you should do a skit where Ken Ham goes to a Bowser Mario church service. That sounds like gold to me. That sounds like 100,000 views. No. Let's see. Husband, parent, pastor. Again, he's all three of these things. Using worldly gimmicks in the church is more about marketing a local ministry rather than doing kingdom work and holding fast to our called out identity at church to show Christ. Yeah. I mean, there is a part of me as someone who, I do a lot of marketing. Everything I do on this channel is actually marketing. This is marketing. Right there, that's marketing. Logos, marketing. Thumbnails are marketing. But I've done a lot of marketing in the past, too. Not at, any firms or anything. Not that. I ain't fancy. I'm just saying, I'm interested in marketing. And I do think that there is something to the fact that every church has to do it, right? You have to market. In order to have that gospel ministry, you do. Your website is marketing. And there is you could even say websites are gimmicks in a way. You're trying to get people in. Those aren't for your church members, most likely. Unless you have some backdoor communication stuff on your website. Most often it's for visitors. So it is a gimmick in a way. So it's not just because something is a gimmick doesn't mean that it's necessarily wrong, but it's what it does to your message. If the gimmick disrupts your message or changes it, then that's really wrong. And I think with Life Church, it's pretty clear that they changed it because they're not preaching the Bible. And I think that's a pretty big deal. Roland says, people who are brought to the word through it and then grew critical of those methods, i.e. me. He says something else too. I have mixed feelings about doing trendy, cool things to bring people. People like to point out the low percentages of people who continue in the faith, which is true. But there are a number of people who are brought to the word through it and then grew critical of those methods, i.e. me. Yeah, there are people getting saved. I could praise God that people get saved. Now, I do have a question. If you get saved from listening to a sermon about a movie rather than from the Bible, what was actually communicated? That's what I want to know. So I'm not going to oh, your salvation doesn't count. But also I want to have a conversation. what was so great about that sermon? What did they say about Jesus that really got you? Let's go. Tax collector, hot take. I'm not bothered by this at all, to be honest. He works on staff at Life Church. We know they got a lot of tax collectors working there. I'm just kidding. Groups like Protestia will write the same 1,000 article videos about this that we've seen 1,000 times before. I'm completely unmoved by this type of stuff. Well, okay, but there are plenty of people who are. So, I get it. It's not something you're interested in or that, is something that you're debating. You have your stance. There are lots of people who are my church is doing this. Is this okay? I don't want it to get to the point where it's at Life Church levels, but we have a couple hundred people and we're really trying this huge soccer thing. And we're not preaching the gospel at all. And we're investing a lot of money in this thing. Is this okay? I think that there are a lot of people who are questioning those kinds of things. Aaron says, all I want to know is where did songs like It Is Well With My Soul go? Well, it's in the hymnal and you have to have the light on in order to see it. So the Pelagian says, this is the most split I've seen this live chat on a particular subject. People are on completely opposite sides. Oh, no. And look, people are still able to have a discussion. There's no name calling. Look at people having a good discussion about stuff. We can disagree. That's good. Wendy West, the Puritan writers and tradition hymns were the means God used to lead me out of the despair of these churches and GCC clones brought on. Yeah. Bobby is here. Says, I made it live this time.
What's up, fam?
I'm late and gotta watch the recording. Good to be here for the party. I'm longer a Baptist. I can say party. I'm no longer a Baptist. I can say party. Nope. We're gonna someone write that down. Bobby said that. You guys got that. Kira says before electricity there were candles and lanterns. Yep. But it was dimmer. And it's not the thing. It's about the lights, and we always try to get as much lights in the church services as possible because we know that because it was written nowhere, but it was written in our hearts, and we carried that along, and we told generations down. But yeah, it's a whole thing. Amos says, "Our God is an emotional God. How many hymns have been sung to prepare the hearts of the people?" Right? Yeah. A lot of great things being said here in the chat. But you know what? It's time. You know, sometimes we're dealing with good things in the chat. And sometimes I just got to be honest. Like, we just... Some things that are said, right? Some things.
You want to see a penalty? I'll show you a real penalty. Get out of my face, man.
Okay. All right. Are you ready? I thought about earlier this morning. I was like, what are we going to talk about? I was up really early. And I was looking at articles and stuff, and I was like, do I do a whole show of the penalty box? Like, because I have gotten a flood of people who are saying just the craziest stuff and some mean things, a lot of things getting deleted, things talking about my weight, things calling me names. I don't know, like, how many words do I have to ban now? But, you know, because you're not talking about. You're not talking positively about this pastor. I'll call you all kinds of things. It's such a weird world for some Christians. I don't know. Maybe they're not. But I decided against it. I thought we'd talk about like the worship wars. And it's just interesting to me to see those two perspectives. And I think a lot of us fit somewhere in the middle. But that's not all that was talked about. So let's dive into this. Oh, boy. Here we go. First up. That's not... Let's go. We're going to do that again. I like the sound effects. I put, you know, some time. All right. So we got a minor one with this. So this is how to handle false teachers, which is a video I did way back in the day. I have a lot of videos, and some of them are not great. This is one that isn't. But this is, what is this? Half sheep, half Jesus, 7357. Because I guess half sheep, half Jesus was already taken. Or that there are 7,356 other ones. So I don't know. But he said, I'm assuming it's a he. Must be nice to be normal people able to be on camera. Real prophets cannot because they have the real truth. Satan does not care about stuff the church passes around. Real prophets have no friends. All right, this to me is maybe someone who is feeling lonely. Half Jesus, half sheep, half Jesus, 7357. You can come onto the channel. We could be friends. You don't have to, like, you have to go to the penalty box for a little bit, but once you're out, you can come back to the channel. You could have friends, but I don't think you're a prophet. I'm very concerned. About your ideas about what makes a prophet and what means that they can like not be on camera. What is this? Like, are prophets like vampires now? Isn't that how vampires work? Not that they're real. Or are they? But you can't see their reflection, so they won't show up on a camera. Is that what a prophet is? I don't know, but I'm a little concerned for half sheep, half Jesus. All right. Next one up. Dang it, I did it again. I'm going to do it. I'm sorry. I have to.
2 minutes for need it. Slashing and 2 minutes for
get
roughing.
Me into the mood, you know? I'm like, oh no. Josh Bice is going to be like, oh, did you dim the lights too? They are dimmed. It's only this light. Shocker. All right. Why I love the Christian Standard Bible. This is a video that I did a long time ago. And it's one of my best performing videos. Brought a lot of people onto the channel. Don't get a lot of comments on it all that often. So it was weird to see this one. So DaleX60 says, there are two things that all Bibles have in common. They don't prove a God exists or that any particular set of beliefs are correct and true above all other 3,000 distinct and 45,000 sub-brands of Christianity. So what I'm assuming about Dave X, Dale, sorry, not Dave, Dale X 60, is he just goes looking around for Bible videos and copies and pastes. Like, I get a lot of that kind of stuff. Most of the time it's a link, so it goes right into like a list that I delete. Again, there are reasons, all right, why I say no links in the comments, because some of the stuff people link to is just nuts and I wouldn't be able to police it all. So I just got to say, like, this is what I really want to talk about. It's like, whatever, atheist gonna atheist, right? Like, but if you see there's a like. I know, actually, I think there's also, isn't that the same over here? Or is this, can I fix this? Can I fix this? I can't fix that. I'm pretty sure it was on that one too. Where, what is up with like the crazy comments always having a like almost immediately? It's almost as if they just decided to like their own stuff. Like, I've noticed this quite a bit, where there's always like right after a crazy comment, like I look at those pretty early. I see the comments. I don't always interact. Sometimes I just don't have the energy for it. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed with, like, there's just a lot to do on YouTube and I only have so much time in the day for YouTube. But it's just so funny to me to be like, I'm gonna like my own stuff. And it's like I don't think that anyone else who is watching this Bible video within 5 minutes would have liked that, but okay. Let's go. I'm going to hit the button this time.
There's the whistle. There's no excuse there. He knows that whistle's been blown.
All right, no excuse for this. And this one, like, this is the one I was talking about on Friday's stream. This is just nuts. All right, but isn't biblical patriarchy an in-house issue? Where I say, you know, this actually has implications, and I feel like it's more important than just being like, well, we could agree to disagree on this. I'm not saying that anyone who believes in patriarchy isn't a Christian or outside the camp or something like that, although could go there. But I'm just saying, like, this thing is important because, like, a little over half of the world is impacted by your beliefs on this thing in their daily life. But this is... I need to get my glasses on for these things. Molichi, who decided to comment this. Male headship and patriarchy wasn't what Christendom believed for more than 2,000 years? Exclamation question marks. Dude, why don't you buy a pride and transubstantiation flag, join the PCUSA, ELCA, or any mainline church and save us time? We know where this ends. That is so funny and sad. It makes me really sad that people can't just agree to disagree. Like, you can't, like, obviously, if you're familiar with this channel at all, I'm definitely going to have a perspective. It's going to be different than someone who's going to be for patriarchy. But even the people that are surprised, like, YouTube recommends them and they just come over and they're like, what is this? I love patriarchy. My favorite topic. And they click and they're just like, what? No. Like, you just, you're... Do you want people to leave the faith? That's where I go. Like, to go to, like, oh, these mainstream churches. And, of course, a lot of these guys would say that those mainstream churches, they don't even have the gospel. All right, that's what a lot of these guys would say. And so, like, you're just, like, pushing people. Like, why can't I just be not you? Why can't I just be in the middle? Oh, no. What a shocking thing to not have an extreme position. Like, why do I have to not, if I'm not in that extreme position of patriarchy, I have to go over to that because inevitably that's where it's going to go. This is what I was teasing Pam with on Twitter when Twitter was a thing. I was teasing her about, like, the positions of, you know, like, hard complementarian and soft complementarian, and nobody does that for egalitarian because they always just go, it's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. If you're not going to be full on patriarchy, slippery slope right over to hell. You know, like, this thing. I'm so over this stuff of where people love to. I really try, and maybe sometimes I fail. Okay, of not judging people's motives, but I'm so over everyone in life from that camp
assuming everything about my motives and assuming they know my mind. It's like, no, I'm actually really dang conservative. I'm just not you. So just chill. But nope. Nope, nope, nope. All right, let's go. Here we go.
The following play is under review for a major or match penalty.
So I got a lot of, like I said, I could have done a whole show of the penalty box. Maybe I will at some point. John MacArthur's strong words at a central church premiere. All right, that is the title of the video. Not a great title. Okay, I get it. Leonard Williams decided he was going to leave this comment. Actually, and I think we all heard his glasses go up a little bit when he said it. I thought he dropped the ball for closing for 4 months. I knew the day it started, the scam we were in for, the plans behind it. But then I have blown the horn for 30 years about what was coming. Much study involved. Oh, sorry. You leave some kind of comment like this, I'm not going to not have fun with it. Just the pride. It's like literally the whole world thought we were going to die. Like, or that millions were going to die. And it's like, I knew the whole time. It's like, what? One, no, you didn't. Two, you've always been saying weird stuff then. Like, what? Much study involved. The Bible has everything in it. Of course. We all should have known. If only we had read our Bibles, we would have been able to know that the pandemic was coming. Oh, my goodness. The Bible has everything in it, clearly, so as not to depend on men to tell you, ooh, scientists. Ugh. Like, when I'm reading this, I want you to think of, what is this? What is that guy's name? The guy, oh man, I shouldn't have brought it up. One of the SNL guys, one of the newer ones, he was doing like movie reviews, but he was like British and like old school and like had the white wig on. I'm forgetting who that is. But it's like, that's where my mind goes of who's commenting this. All right. Plus we have eyes to see what is going on. Don't you look around? But my point, God's point. Oh, my point, God's point. You're not God. stop doing that. Don't put him in with this. But my point, God's point. No one can tell the church to go against God. Plague be word. Bombs, war, aliens, none of it. Who decided to bring aliens into this thing? I guess it's because of like the stuff going on with the weird I'm forgetting all kinds of words today, but like they're doing all like these like court proceeding Senate stuff. I don't know. They're doing all that stuff about aliens. Bombs, war, aliens, none of it. As for him shaming, it should. It should? Is this an alien? Leonard, have you been walking amongst us? All right. It should and does not take a shame to feel remorse or not. That's in the one's own conscience between God. I think there's a language barrier between God and knowing scripture. Plus the Constitution backs up the scripture. Plus we added the Constitution. That was the Bible I was talking about. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I just, I was reading that. We were swimming at Grandma and Grandpa's. And it was like sitting by the pool and reading that. I was just like laughing really hard. And everyone was just like, what is Dean doing? It's like, I just got a comment. Okay. Oh, you know what? I can't even be mad at this. I mean, it was a max penalty, but it was evaluated and I'm going to let it stand because it made me laugh so much. All right. Let's what are we going to do next? I know. Let's go to Fundy Town.
And bring it on down to
Fundy. Okay. Now that we traveled the long distance to Fundyville, I need to do green screen for some of this stuff. Like, if I could push a button and green screen would come behind me and, like, we could be, we're not going to do that. Okay. So this is Joel Webbin, who I consider a fundamentalist for his positions on Christian nationalism, for patriarchy, for taking these things and making them into broader standards of faithfulness. That's what fundamentalists do. I'm putting him into the category of new fundamentalists. If you have a problem with that, stick around on the channel. We're going to talk about it. I've thought about it. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do an episode on each one of these guys that's doing, like, their seven mountains and, like, seven keys to rule the world or whatever their thing was. I think we're just going to talk about each one of those guys in an episode. So Joel will get some attention here in a while. But I saw this and I thought it was funny and interesting. And so we're going to take a look.
What does it mean to go out? And what is a sower? And what is it to sow? And it's just, and it's not just interpretation, it's application, 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 practical, 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 practical. And this is where you get the term puritanical. Puritan was a pejorative. Christian was a pejorative. In the first century, oh, you're just little clones of Jesus. Hey, I like that. You're saying we look like Jesus, little Christ? We can work with that. Okay, Christians. Yeah, well, that's what we are. We're Christians. You're puritanical. You're meticulously devoted to obeying God in every aspect of life. I'm sorry, was that a criticism? Okay, Puritans. Yeah, we can work with that. You want nations and even civil rulers to honor God. You're a Christian nationalist. What was that? Yeah, I am a Christian nationalist. I can work with that. The next label you throw at me, I may not be able to work with, but I can work with that one. So I'll use it. A tale as old as time. 2,000 years of people who hate God, throwing a pejorative on the people of God. The people of God, if they can work with it, if it is at least fundamentally true, then they name it. They say, that's it. We believe the nation should be Christian. We are Puritans. We are little Christ, little images of Christ. We are Christians.
So that was the sermon on Sunday. I was watching it, doing a little bit of research and working on the intro thing that I made. Being called a Christian nationalist is the same as being called a Christian. Oh, same principle. Oh, it's the same thing as being a Puritan. You know what he's doing? He's convincing his audience that it's okay. He's like, that doesn't make any sense. Okay, the world, like he says, people who hate God. So I think actually it was Christians who are looking over at these guys and being like, that's nationalist ideology. So like Christian nationalists, I don't know if that actually came from the world, the people who hate God, but also, it's now coming from people who love Jesus and looking at Christian nationalists and calling them Christian nationalists. Does that mean I fit into that category? Does that mean that you fit into that category? I don't know. But he's basically saying that, oh, it's good. It's good because people who hate God, they're just using it as a weapon against you. So might as well turn the weapon back on them, right? Like Christians, like Puritans, which, again, Puritans didn't like that. Like, there was nobody who was like, yeah, I am a Puritan. It's only hundreds of years later that we're looking back on the Puritans as positively and using that word. It wasn't like they were like, we're going to take this and use it for ourselves. I don't think anyone was doing that. But, yeah. So it's just interesting to me to see, like, people being like, oh, you know, Christian nationalist is kind of a scary term, right? Like, who wants to be called that? And then for him to be like, no, don't worry, it's just like being called a Christian in the first century or second century, or it's like being called a Puritan. Those were good guys, right? Like, you want to be a Christian, you like the Puritans, right? So Christian nationalism, it just works. It's not the same thing. Like, you can't do that with just like, oh, they called us whatever and we're going to use it against us. Sometimes they call us whatever because we're being whatever, and that whatever isn't good. Like, that's also a thing. Like, sometimes the world is right. No, I'm so sorry. The shot is way off. I will do. Oh, I'm so sorry. The world is right. Ah, I'm sorry. Well, that's the show for today. Thanks for watching. Hit the like button so other people can watch it. You know, leave a comment. And that's about it. That's all I got. I'm just kidding. Well, we are gonna go and look at the comments a little bit before we head out. Let's see. Carol is here. John said he wanted the churches to show his film, and he wants to make them feel guilty because the churches obeyed the government. Is that part of a bigger conversation? I don't know what that, like. Yeah, I think that's part of it. I did catch like the ending. So like more people put up vlogs and different things that helped me to be able to hear what he was saying towards the end. And he was saying so that they can learn. But the idea there is that you be me. Like, your position isn't good. My position is. So you're wrong. I'm right. And you should feel guilty about it. So I think that while, you know, we could debate whether it's about him saying that he's right because scripture says it, or he's saying that he's right. At the end of the day, he's saying you can't have that idea that you should have, you know, followed the health restrictions. And to me, that is the, you know, weaker brother tyranny that R.C. Sproul talked about. Heidi says, this comment is so long, Dean. I can't believe you read the whole thing. It was just too funny for me. I'm sorry. I don't know if anyone else enjoyed it, but I did. Pete says, you do not call any of Pastor MacArthur's words into question. Stop being a heathen, Dean. I can't help it. That's who I am. Someone's going to clip that out. All right. Star 1, 2, 3. I would have been happy to stay complementarian, but being in a spiritually and emotionally abusive marriage has really soured my outlook on gender power dynamics. I can see how that would work. And again, if you were to like nail down exactly theologically where I'm at, I would be a soft complementarian. But I don't like the term because there are so many people who use that term. And even if they call themselves a soft complementarian, like they were saying Owen Strand was a soft complementarian with him and Cassie Henn. It's like, no. And that's why I don't use that word, because I'm not like those guys. And I don't want to be put into that same theological camp. And like, because people will pin you down if you just say you are something, like a lot of people. And, you know, I don't really mind it with this one. But, you know, when I say I'm a Calvinist, like everyone takes their story of what a Calvinist is and applies it to me. Like there's something like they just attribute all that stuff onto me. It gives me a lot of baggage. I don't want the baggage of the hard complementarians and the people who are definitely not, but they say soft complementarian. Like, I don't want any of that baggage. So I'm just not going to use the word. But if you were to like say like theologically, and if you're looking at all the books and not just the people saying stuff and their character attached to that, I'd probably fit into that category too, but I'm not going to. Pete says, aliens for the patriarchy. Interesting twist for Margaret Atwood. Bobby says, a lot of people thought GCC dropped the ball by closing for months. I suspect that's part of the reason they reopened. Yeah, I don't know. We'll watch the documentary at some point when it's released online. I don't have to pay a fortune for it. I've done that once. I watched the Church at War thing, and it cost me like $15, and I'm not doing it again. Okay, I'm just not. Kira says, Dean losing it over this comment. This is entertaining. I just, my point, God's point. What? I'm going to read that comment over and over again. Just FYI, when I'm feeling like really low and down, I'm just going to take that comment out and just read it and giggle to myself. Kira says, oh man, no wonder why I can listen to James White either. Kira, again, Christian nationalist is a negative thing, but okay. Pam says, bye, friends. Dentist time. Ooh.
Big yikes.
Bobby says, I wonder how Joel avoids back with how much he leans over the pulpit. Working at a grocery store, the first thing they told me was been with your legs and now you're back. I think there's a lot of health issues that pastors get eventually from how they conduct themselves at the pulpit. Like I've seen some pastors do some weird stuff. Okay. And it's just like, what? And then later they're like, oh, you know, I got like these leg cramps. It's like, yeah, I can see that. You like bend over like you're going to pick up a penny off the ground every time you make a point. It's like, what is, like, there are people who are literally like, they do like the sweeping thing. People have a lot of weird hand gestures and movements when they preach. Wendy says, I don't know. I like the term Paul uses over 100 times in Christ's ones rather than we are little Christ's words batter. Yeah. I mean, personally, I don't care. I don't care. You can call me pretty much whatever, and I'm going to be okay with a lot of it, unless you're just being mean. Dylan says, Joel can do a lot of impersonations of himself. Yeah, he can. Yeah, he can. He's actually pretty good at it. I would be interested to know, like, I actually think that Joel Webbin is probably a funny guy, like behind the scenes, like when he's not doing like his whole spiel. Like, I bet there was a lot of people back in his Acts 29 days that were like, he's super hilarious. I bet that's true. Slightly Pelagian, who is slightly heretical, says Dean listens to Blink-182. Of course he's heathen. He has poor taste in music. LOL. Yeah, me and like millions of others. This is the same thing I do for people who are like, oh, Star Wars is so lame. I'm like, yeah, me and all the box office records. Sorry about that. Caleb says, my favorite says, Christian nationalist is used similarly to how some use theonomy. Overly simplistic to get people to adopt the term to establish the identity with the group. They are primed to accept the rest. Maybe. Wendy West, underdogs don't drag baggage. We travel light. Ooh, I like it. I like it a lot, actually. Give me a little bit of goosebumps there. Miss Creel, Joel is live now, apparently addressing the fact that he's been accused of platform building. Oh. Well, I guess I know what I'm going to watch while I'm folding laundry. Yes, I fold laundry. That's not masculinity. Pete says, Joel's kids are probably going to change his hardline positions over time. Don't wish that on him, but that tends to be the norm. Oh, for sure. And I think as you get older, you soften on things and you see that all the time. That being said, he's got some really hard positions. So I don't know. Can those things be softened? Do you pronounce the T? Let me know in the chat. Slightly Pelagian says, come on, you have to appreciate the real musical classics like Slipknot or Korn.
Big yikes.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Not going to accept it. You know what? You just ended the stream, Slightly Pelagian. I'm just kidding. I got to get going. But I appreciate everyone who's hung out with me today. If you like this video, hit the like button. All the things that I already said earlier when I was like, do I want to end this? Do I want to go in the chat? I went into the chat and now I'm ending this. Okay, bye.